Hi everyone, and welcome back to another Wednesday live stream. So wherever you are in the world, and in this particular one, that really does apply. You're very welcome. So as I said, thank you so much for being here. We are streaming across all the platforms, apart from YouTube, from which we are in temporary ban. And so we're not worried about that, but we're on Facebook, Odyssey, Rumble, Getter, Twitter. The known universe, so to speak. So that's where we are. So I hope you'll enjoy this. I've got the some of the live streams open so I can see some of your comments. So hi, Albert Lee and all. So listen, we always try to bring a variety and a depth of special guests. And on this occasion, I'm really pleased. I'm very happy because this is the first time we've gone to New Zealand. So our very special guest, who I'm very keen to introduce you to, his name is Vinny Eastwood. And let me just bring Vinny on screen. So, hi, Vinny.
Hello. Welcome from the archipelago of the South.
Yeah. Why aren't you in prison? That's what I wonder. Why are you not in the gulags? Because obviously, Vinny, one of the reasons I was so keen to speak to you was you're obviously in New Zealand. And over the last couple of years, many countries have been bad, tyrannical, and all the rest of it. But where you live has been exceptional. Well, it seemed exceptionally bad under the diktat of our friend Ardern. But before we get to that, just everyone, Vinny does a Vinny Eastwood show, which we put the links to, so you can subscribe to that and listen to Vinny. But Vinny, I do love your introduction on your bio. Vinny says, the Vinny Eastwood show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of, genocide. Loved it. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. I was superb, Vinny. I laughed so much at that because, as we were saying just before we came on air, dark humor is often the best humor, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Dark times call for dark humor, they say.
I think so. Yeah, I do think so. Yeah. Although, actually, you know something? I don't know what you feel about this, because I know, I mean, you've done different things apart from your talk show, comedian, filmmaker, all your different strings to your bow. But do you not think that comedians have gone missing over mostly during the past 3 years? I mean, where have they been, Vinny?
Yeah, it's the that's not funny or I'm offended by that generation. So The whole idea of humor is that every joke has one thing in common, a victim. All right? Mm. You know, any joke you got... and this is how we allow our victimhood to pass. This is how we release endorphins instead of cortisol, the stress hormone. And as a result, we have the society around us that wants people to be stressed, wants people to be worried, because it deactivates the neocortex, the primate part of your brain that does your higher level thinking, and it sets you back into the reptilian fight, flight, freeze, submit, and attach responses. And I think that the people who are running society are particularly adept at making people have that submit or attach response to their tyranny. And unfortunately, I have the fight response.
Oh yeah, well don't worry, you're amongst friends tonight. We are, all of us collectively have been the opposition from day one of this tyranny, you know. But as I say, I'm just keen to talk it through with you, Vinny, because when this all started back in February, March 2020, the COVID nonsense, we saw degrees of tyranny around the world. But you live in New Zealand, you had Jacinda Ardern. And little did I didn't realize she was as bad as she was. But what was it like, Vinny, in those early times?
Well, it was thing because I was on the ball long before Jacinda Ardern came along. I was there for nearly 13 years of the reign of John Key or something like that. And he was a former Federal Reserve banker. And I've been to hundreds and hundreds of protests, made thousands of videos with nearly 500 activists, long form interviews. And when you see these activists on the TV and you see them for 30 seconds, they have a wealth of knowledge that you get access to when you interview them for 2 hours. So I had a very geometric rate of learning at that point, where I feel like these were the people that did the real work, the activists who went out, read the documents, went into courts, went to the council meetings, staged the protests, did the public speaking through the megaphones and the microphones. These are the people who do the real work. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just a douchebag with a microphone. And what you do is you go out and you record this knowledge and you allow it there for posterity. And just like yourself, I was also banned from YouTube, and it ain't coming back. So that's 6,000 shows and I believe nearly 20,000 hours of recorded content, the largest online free archive of interviews with New Zealand activists the world had ever seen. And it's all gone.
That's because YouTube is total digital AIDS. That's what YouTube is. Let me tell you, I had a couple of weeks ago, Vinny, I had one of Donald Trump's attorneys on with me, and she was she'd written a book about the 2020 presidential election and the shenanigans that went on in the States. I got a strike after that because you're not allowed to talk about that still. I had Ed Dowd on with me. I'm sure you know Edward Dowd. American Wall Street financier, ex-BlackRock actually, so he comes from the dark side, but he's on our side. He's written a book about all the unexplained deaths in 2021 and 2022 that we've seen all around the world. So Ed and I had a great chat about that. He wasn't specifically, Vinny, saying that the vaccine caused it. He wasn't attributing it directly, but you might assume that. I got a strike after that as well. So sod YouTube, you know, and I'm sure like yourself, like we all put work into them, Vinny, but if these platforms are going to punish us, what's the point in being on them?
Yeah, well, the point is this. When I had to go to Twitch, for example, for the One Great Work Network, I wound up getting, I think, maybe 450 followers after doing that for more than a year. After doing YouTube back, starting up from scratch for now 2 months, I have equal that amount of followers, right? So even though YouTube does do all its censorship and everything like that, that is where the audience is, and you actually create a larger audience much faster on YouTube than anywhere else. Now, the question behind this is, how do you get around all of these things? I believe one of my colleagues had a great idea, is that every time you wanted to say a word that you know that the censors would say, you wouldn't call them a jab or anything like that. You would call them a miracle. All right? So everybody, we've had all of these miracle, we've had all these miracle injuries. People are getting force miracled and you know.
Yeah. It's the elixir of life. It's the elixir of life, YouTube. We're definitely not criticizing it. Yeah, I know. But the thing is, I tried that, and to be honest, but you forget yourself, and sometimes it's really, really hard, especially on, it's funny, it's those two big topics really, isn't it? It's COVID, the vaccination, and it's the US presidential election. Those are the killer ones. And I got to say, Vinny, I mean, I was taken off Twitter back in 2020. I came back at the end of November. I didn't ask to be, but I came back. And since then, I've been able to say pretty much as I want on Twitter. So some people have reservations about Elon Musk. I do. But I'm not going to bitch about the fact that, well, I'm back with a decent audience, you know, and apparently free speech sort of prevails. I don't know what you think about the Musk Twitter. Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing? What do you think?
Well, I mean, anything that's better that gets anybody their ability to access the public square back, I'm all in favour of it, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, I've applied to have my Twitter unsuspended, and they didn't tell me why they suspended me. You violated our guidelines. What, all of them? Which ones? You know, what did I actually do? What did I actually say? Just part of the purge, you know? And this is the thing, if you can see the gentleman behind me, these are my escorts for getting onto jail, you know, and I got arrested for protesting the lockdowns. Like, we had in August 18th, 2021, a snap lockdown. We had a single case of the Delta variant that was detected, and the entire country of New Zealand went into level four lockdown. It was a very severe type of lockdown, you know. We went out to protest it, and then myself and Billy TK got arrested. And, you know, you're supposed to hold you in the cells for maybe 2-3 hours or something like that, and they held us for 28 hours, you know. And by the time I got out, I felt like I was some kind of a prisoner in a Russian gulag, you know. I go up to my wife and my daughter and go to her, "Baby, you haven't aged a day. You still as beautiful and supple as the day the state took my freedom. And Alina, my little mamushka, look how you've grown." And it was so traumatizing. Like, I got back home, and I was making my wife coffee, you know, as you do in the mornings. And I was just sitting there just crying, you know, holding myself up on the bench top. And my wife was like, "Oh, baby, are you crying because you're making me coffee?" And I was like, "The granules are so beautiful."
Was that the first Kiwi lockdown, the 21, or was there one in 20 as well?
There was a number of lockdowns, a couple in 20, and then the rest in 21. That was, I think, maybe the first that we had in 21. And it was very, very brutal. And it was interesting because I remember when the first outbreaks were announced and stuff like that, everybody was talking about it except me. You know, I ignore everything until, you know, there's no avoiding it anymore. There's just too much going on. And so eventually then I had to start covering it, and then I got banned. So now I can't cover it no more. You try.
But as you say, like, go on, just focusing on 21 there for a second. That I remember that story about New Zealand going into lockdown over one case, and it's like, how insane was that? Did most New Zealanders go along with that, Vinny? What was the response to that insanity from Ardern?
Well, we got 87 people to turn out to our protest. About 14 people were arrested around the country, including Billy TK and myself. The police quashed any and all protest activities everywhere, just down. And then everybody else just sat in lockdown for ages. And those are people who saw all the arrests and heard about them were incredibly depressed, and they had nobody to listen to on the airwaves and stuff like that, because we were banned from accessing the internet.
Yes, full Soviet style tyranny. It was, I mean, that's why, honestly, I mean, there's people, New Zealanders, I mean, I'm a big fan of Dr. Sam Bailey, who's been noteworthy in her opposition to, well, all vaccines, basically.
Miracles.
But I just wonder, like, how did people who opposed it get by in those before they rolled out the elixir of life saving vaccines? Like, was it just people just shut their doors, stayed indoors, and that was it? Is that how it worked?
Well, it felt like I was driving down the road, and one day I could listen to dance music and the other day I couldn't listen to dance music, because the only thing that was on the radio was,
"This is a COVID-19 announcement."
You know, they do this little turkey noise or something like that.
"This is a COVID-19 announcement."
And in this real creepy kind of voice. And all the news became about COVID as well. You know, people will be talking about dance music festivals and things like that. Oh, you've got to be jabbed and you've got to have your tracer app and stuff like that in order to get in.
Yeah.
People would have a traffic report and they say that there's no traffic because it's lockdown. People would do a news report, and all the news would be about the latest outbreaks, the latest deaths, and so on and so forth. And then it would cut to an ad break advertising the vaccines and how to stay safe and be kind to everybody. It was just a complete and utter saturation, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, utter saturation of every single media source. I found a radio station. I found one that didn't have COVID ads every single 15 minutes. Okay. And this was a very old radio station that played classical music that was recorded in like the 1930s. It's the only station that refused to be bought out, you know. The government threw $1 billion worth of advertising. All right, this is a country of 5 million people, and the government spent $1 billion just on their COVID ads alone. And as people started to expose all of this stuff going on, they then spent $50 million buying out the mainstream and alternative media, private and government media by starting what they called a public interest journalism fund. What was this funding being used for? By making documentaries about alternative media personalities, demonizing them, calling them terrorists and white supremacists and so on and so forth. All right, now they call everybody far right. If you're not left in this country, it means you're far right. There is no right anymore. There's only far right and far left, ostensibly. It's terrifying, this country.
But the New Zealand population, it's what, is it 5 million? So as you said, so it's not a huge population. And as far as I understand, I mean, it's quite there's not really any mega cities, is there? I mean, it's not huge population centres. It's kind of pretty well spread out. So like, I'm just, a bit like with Australia, Vinny, I don't understand how, like, although I was so disappointed in what I thought were tough-minded Aussies going along with all this crap. But most of New Zealand went along with it as well, didn't they?
In 2019, after the Christchurch mosque massacre, when a Australian citizen was reported to the police for his anti-Islamic views by people at his gun club, this person then stalked a mosque and allegedly staked it out for 3 months and then shot up the place exactly on the same day when a drill was being conducted by both NATO snipers in New Zealand and New Zealand's armed defender squad were both conducting drills concerning a mass shooting. Coincidentally enough. And also, incidentally, there was a Crisis X conference of international terrorism, including many of the heads of international anti-terrorist agencies in New Zealand for what they were called a very realistic simulation that they boasted in their website. And the person in question got found to be pleading not guilty while he flashed a Masonic 666 hand sign at the cameras. And then on day one of the 2020 lockdowns, he suddenly pleads guilty on the day that no media can be there to report it. And then the Royal Commission of Inquiry into the massacre is sealed for 30 years so that nobody can understand what actually happened down there. And this man is being incarcerated in solitary confinement for life at the cost of 40,000 New Zealand taxpayer dollars a month, and no media or visitors allowed. All right, now, at the back of that incident, the government, within 14 days, decided that they would take everybody's guns. All right? All the law-abiding citizens, weapons and things of that nature, was just boom. I spoke to a New Zealand rifleman who was at 2 o'clock in the morning, after he'd been training all weekend, carrying huge logs over his shoulders. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the police turned up to take his guns. And they didn't have a Member of Parliament there, because that's under New Zealand law. If the New Zealand police have to interact with the New Zealand military, they have to have a elected Member of Parliament there to make sure there's no frickin' shooting, right? But they didn't do that, and they came in and they took his weapons. And this has been interesting, because what happened after that is they started arming the police. The first policeman who used his weapon in service shot himself in the ass, all right, sitting down, because he didn't know how to use it properly. And after that, New Zealand's gun statistics started to change significantly. We used to have maybe one gun murder every 3 years-ish. Maybe a couple of shootings or something like that here or there. And we are now getting reports that there's up to like 20 shootings a week in just one suburb in South Auckland here. So what happened was the government had banned everybody's guns, and the gangs simultaneously had infiltrated the gun registry at the New Zealand police. So now they had a shopping list of all these people who wanted to get rid of their guns, and the government was going to take them anyway. And now the gangs are very, very armed, and New Zealand is a far more violent place, as is exactly the case with every single place that has ever banned guns in history, where the murder rate shoots up astronomically, because now the criminals know that their victims can't defend themselves. All right?
Oh, yeah.
And then, then they trigger lockdowns when nobody's able to shoot back and defend themselves against this kind of tyranny.
Yeah. Were you surprised at how tyrannical the New Zealand government behaved? Or was it in sync with what you previously probably thought? I mean, genuinely, what did you think?
I've been doing this for 15 years and I've never seen anything like it.
Mm.
Never. Mm. I knew all this stuff was coming because everybody who'd been studying Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 the New World Order and everything that's going on told you it was coming, and you knew it because it wasn't a belief. You knew that this is what they were capable of, and you knew that that was what they were doing, and you knew that people would go along with it because they're up against the best mind controllers in the world.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want to make this point because Steve Hughes, the comedian, he told me this, and I thought this was a very, very salient point. Don't beat yourself up about it. Okay. If you got sucked in at any point by any of their schemes, don't beat yourself up about it. They employed the best of the best mind controllers. Yep. In the world, specifically to mess with your head and make you to make decisions that were against your self-interest. It's like a four-year-old getting in the ring with Muhammad Ali in his prime. Okay, it wasn't a fair fight. Don't beat yourself up about it. You're here now. You realize what's going on now. Now you got to do something about it.
No, I think that's a fair point because, I mean, some of us from the beginning did totally resist it, but there was a chunk of people who went along with it, I think, Vinny, and one of their main drivers of their compliance, their conformance, was if they consume mainstream media in particular, they thought they were doing the right thing. I mean, you know, and we shouldn't judge them too hard because, as you say, the nudge units, the top psychologists were deploying all the weapons against them, predominantly over the media. I think if you'd have turned the media off, though, you wouldn't have been impacted at all. Do you not think that?
I wasn't listening to the media at all. And that's why it was interesting, because you were still impacted by it nonetheless, because every single radio station and every single television studio, every store you walk into, okay?
Had this
huge, like, posters everywhere and like lines on the freaking ground and people wearing masks and all sorts of really stupid, crazy kind of things that only robots would follow. Now, what does the term robot mean? It means slave, okay? And let's face facts here, ladies and gentlemen. We are technically slaves. All right, and a lot of us realize it, don't like the fact, and are trying to end slavery, end it for good. But many, many people are slaves, and they don't realize it, and they're just quietly compliant. And that is the reason why the rest of us are fighting so hard, because for everybody who doesn't pull their weight, somebody else has to fight twice as hard in their stead.
Yeah, no, it's very true. I mean, the thing, I mean, whilst I understand why people went with it, Vinny, when I still see people walking around, even in 2023 now, and there are people, I don't know what it's like with you, but I see people wearing masks and all the theatrics of COVID. And at this point, it irritates the hell out of me, because I'm thinking, you know, if it hadn't have been for people, for those people, Vinny, we wouldn't have been, they would not have been able to push it as fast and as effectively as they did. It was the compliance of the masses that caused the problem. You know, we can't get away from that either. But tell me this, so you had all these lockdowns and stuff, but obviously that was all the prelude to the elixir of life, the vaccination, that sweet honey, that nectar that we get into our arms that causes all kinds of horrific damage, up to and including death. So what was the New Zealand response to the vaccine when it came? Did people just rush out to get it? How did that work?
It was like, I don't know if you've ever fed chickens before, but when you go out there with the pail full of seed, and you call them, you go chook 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 chook, and you throw the seed everywhere, and all the chickens start coming in immediately, just start gobbling it up. It was like that, you know. I made a joke about it. I said like a chicken comes on the news and he's wearing a suit and stuff like that, and he looks dead into the camera, and there's little subtitles down the bottom that are talking about COVID and vaccination and how deadly the situation is, and chicken looks at the camera and he goes buck, 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 and she goes, buck, 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 and the rooster goes, buck, 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 and they're all just like, flying around, there's feathers going everywhere. And that was what it was like in New Zealand, all right? Just a whole bunch of scared chickens who just immediately got their feed just cast before them, and they got their heads down and they started taking it. And then people started getting sick, and then people started dying, and some people started to connect the dots. And then we had a giant protest the likes of which I don't think New Zealand's ever seen, on the lawns of Parliament there for, what was it, nearly 6 weeks or something. And then, but because nearly a year beforehand, Billy TK and I had been arrested for just having a protest of 87 people or so, we knew what would happen the second that protest down in Parliament started. We knew what would eventuate, and we weren't disappointed, but then again we were disappointed, if you know what I mean. Sound cannons that were used, the barricades, all this anti-riot gear and stuff like that, nobody had ever seen it actually in New Zealand before. And most people, it came as a complete surprise. It didn't come as a surprise to me, because I'd been active in 2014 when the search and surveillance bill was being passed. And around about that time, there were also massive orders of riot control gear and ammunition and things of that nature that were being ordered by the New Zealand police and just kept in storage for a later date. So I knew that no matter how big the protest got or how well organized it was, they weren't able to resist a well-equipped, well-armed, well-drilled police force. They're just a force to be reckoned with. They just came in, broke everybody down, destroyed all their property, and got them off there. I've been in personal contact with many, many people who've been arrested down there, and it's like everybody's kind of like war buddies when people come home from war, and there's only somebody who's actually seen the face of war beside you, and you kind of create that bond. That's happened with a lot of activists in New Zealand here, and many of them have been so traumatized that they can't really go to another protest. Now the question is whether or not we're going to have another protest the likes of which I don't think so. I think that now in New Zealand, people know. They should have known when me and Billy TK was arrested, but it wasn't big enough spectacle for them. But I think now they know that the New Zealand police and the New Zealand government don't give a flying F what anybody thinks, what anybody believes. They have an agenda, they have a framework, and they're walking towards it one step at a time. And any of us who get in their way, they will crush.
Well, you see, this has been a common global experience, I think, Vinny. You know, confidence in policing is just vanished. We saw the police in maybe some people always saw them as this, but I never realized they could be so brutal. so merciless. And we got a bit of it here in the UK. But I saw, I did see, you know, the video of the stuff happening with you guys. And similarly over in Canada as well, Vinny, a lot of mega brutality from Trudeau's stormtroopers, you know. And it's just like, when people see all this, then when they see the police essentially as enforcers of tyranny, does that then not make people just go, well, sod you, we don't want anything to do with you. You do not have a right to police us. Has that been the kind of a response of the general population or just the truthers, so to speak?
Just the truthers, mate. I mean, I've interviewed, three New Zealand former police members, a prosecuting sergeant, a detective, and a constable. And they told me some very, very disturbing things. Yet, when you think about them, not terribly surprising. If you get a whole bunch of young, attractive people who have no life experience, not a terribly high IQ, you give them isolation from their families, mindless repetition of boring tasks to fulfill, and a little title and a little uniform, you're going to create a monster. And you can direct that monster in any direction you wish.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, those people have homes, Vinny. They go back to their families, to their communities.
They don't tell them the truth. They don't tell them what they do every day. The constable that I interviewed told people he was an exterminator. All right? They know for a fact that police are not popular. They know that nobody trusts you. And so what happens is the police has to become your family. Certain degree of coping with the situation, because unfortunately for most of us in the real world, everybody does need social connection, but when your job depends upon you destroying the social fabric, all your social connections beyond being part of the destroyer gang will basically evaporate.
Well, now we see the New Zealanders all went out, the Kiwis all went out and took their jabs, good boys and girls, first jab, second jab, booster jabs. And now I saw a headline the other week, or was it last week, New Zealand's got 100% increase in excess deaths. Do people see the connection, or is it just...
If it's not, this is a COVID-19 announcement.
Then people don't hear about it. And if they don't hear about it, they don't know. Like, just yesterday, for example, I went down to, the Citizens Advice Bureau to get some paperwork signed by a Justice of the Peace. And they were handing out masks and things of that nature. And apparently these people haven't seen the article by the Daily Mail that said that masks don't work. And that's mainstream media right there. And so the old lady next to me, I showed it to her on my phone, have you seen this article? And she goes, oh, okay, and just keeps wearing her mask. All right, if it ain't repeated 1,000 times of 1,000 different mediums 1,000 times a day, it just won't sink in. And this is the great thing about the New World Order, is they don't have to hide anything. Anybody who starts digging will find the truth very, very quickly, very, very easily. And that's the real sad thing about it, is that there's so many people who don't want to know the truth. But it's understandable, right? So if I came up to you and said, David, I want you to sell lies, and you're like, lies? What would I get if I sold lies? Oh, mate, you're going to be rich. You're going to have all powerful and influential people who are going to want to be your friends. You'll be able to sleep with all sorts of young women. You'll have a great home, brand new car, and like the public will just adore you. Really? That's what I get if I sell lies? And he's like, yeah, mate. Oh, okay. What about you, bro? What do you reckon I should sell? I reckon you should sell truth, David. Oh, yeah? Well, what do I get if I sell truth? Well...
Yeah, I know.
Most of your friends aren't going to be your friends anymore. You'll probably lose your job. In fact, you'll lose your job. And you're going to experience a lot of dark nights of the soul and a lot of struggle in life. Oh, yeah? What are the unforeseen consequences of telling lies? Well, you know all those friends you had? Yeah? They're not really your friends. If you're going through a dark day, they'll just disappear. You know all that money that you've got? Yeah? Well, if you tell one truth, all that money will disappear, mate. Oh. So I'm like a slave. Yeah. Well, what are the unforeseen consequences of telling the truth? Well, those people who are your friends, they're actually there for you. When you really need them, you can just give them a call. At 2 o'clock in the morning, they're there for you. Everything you need, exactly when you need it, and the precise amount that you need, will turn up exactly when you need it. All right? And every time you feel like giving up, something will just appear to encourage you to keep going. And that'll be your life. Real friends, real encouragement, real work, and only what you need to survive.
Absolutely, yeah. I completely agree with that, yeah. It's a brilliant definition of the two sides, that those of us who, I mean, harsh truths are never as popular as honey lies, so we know that. But all the same, I found over the past couple of years, I don't know what it's been like for you, but I would have been from the sort of, if you like, conservative, libertarianish sort of perspective before all of this. Now I don't even see things like that at all. Totally don't. I'm only interested in a conflict between right and wrong, good and evil. I know where I stand. I've got friends now, Vinny, who would have been political enemies of mine, but that's all gone away. We don't see those things anymore, you know. So do you not think they've overplayed their hand? Because what they've done is they've increased our communities, and our communities are building all the time. I think the New World Order, the globalists, the whole bunch of them, they've gone too fast, too hard, and maybe it's helping us. What do you think about that?
There's a potentiality for that. But if we look at the overall strategy, not the tactics, but the strategy of the New World Order, look at how much mass surveillance they've got. They know all of our groups. They've probably got people in them. Yeah. And the fact that they haven't stopped us means we're not a threat yet. As soon as somebody becomes a threat, they're out. And so this is how you manage it. Like, I've got a garden that's overgrown with weeds, for example. It's because I don't garden like the New World Order. The New World Order sees one weed, it's actually starting to get too big. Boom, that puppy gets pulled. And so there's a potential that Stefan Versteppen, who wrote, Urban Guerrilla Warfare, was right when he said that basically what we're doing right now is we're painting a target on our back. Now, if you want to go screaming to the gulag and get executed for the cause and so on and so forth, he says, you can do that. That's fine. But if you keep your head down and you start playing what he calls the grey man, where people don't know exactly what you're saying because you never stated an implicit truth, you talk in analogy. You talk in metaphor. And that way, the algorithm and the system doesn't really actually see you as some kind of a threat because you're not being literal. And this way, he says that you can survive what's coming. He says they're going to take control. They're going to win, in inverted commas. But what that means is, if you've got a psychopath who is a cup that cannot be filled, no amount of whores, no amount of drugs, no amount of murder, no amount of torture will satiate their lust. And they've got complete control with whole groups of other psychopaths for which no amount of murder, no amount of distrust, no amount of lies, no amount of scumbaggery is enough. What do you think they're going to do to each other once there's no other threats? Okay? They're going to kill each other off. And that is what Stefan is saying, is that we've already won. We're just going through the process here. It's like a child who gets caught smoking, and then the father forces them to smoke a whole pack of cigarettes or something like that, and they get real sick.
Yeah.
There's going to be blowback, and they've already generated so much negative karma that the blowback's going to be huge. The difficulty is that it's those of us who don't have stored food, don't have weapons, don't have training, don't have preparation, and don't remember the most important thing in a survival situation. your mind. Keep it clear, look at what's in front of you, obey your instinct. Something sounds dodgy, something looks like it's about to go sideways, don't go do it, you know?
I agree with that. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah. Vinny, here's another one for you. One of the big surprises of this year, this last couple of months, was the out of the blue resignation of the glorious New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. What was behind that? How do you interpret that? What was that all about?
Chris Hipkins is the new Prime Minister, and he's basically the protege of Jacinda Ardern. He was there the whole time telling everybody in his little Weasley way that everybody needs to stay safe and be kind, and how he wants to hunt down every unjabbed person and personally give it to them. You know, it's... So meet the new boss worse than the old boss, perhaps. But without the star appeal, okay? Jacinda was just rock star, worldwide famous, everybody knows her name and everybody sees her teeth, and it's just, there's so much behind her stepping down that it's difficult to really go into, because I recall when John Key, the previous Prime Minister, also stepped down. He was the previous most popular Prime Minister we've ever had, steps down. Jacinda Ardern, most popular Prime Minister we've ever had, steps down. What is up with popularity and not wanting to do the job anymore? I don't know. But apparently there were large quantities of threats by the population of New Zealand against her. And I think that maybe people didn't like being genocided or something. People didn't like being fascistically crushed. I don't have my finger on the pulse of New Zealand or whatever. It could have been a range of issues from which everybody wanted to see Jacinda Ardern dead. But you know, I digress. The real reason why she stepped down is we'll never know. And she just says that, oh, I don't have enough fuel in the tank, I want to spend a bit more time with my family. And just, if she says it, believe the opposite. For example, when John Key stepped down, former Federal Reserve banker, he said, I just want to spend some time with my family, you know, and that kind of thing. I'm certainly not going to go and work for big banks overseas. And then what did he do within 14 days? He went to be head of Westpac Corporation Australia. Whatever Jacinda Ardern's saying she's not doing, that's probably what she's doing. And many have touted that she may be heading towards the United Nations to be... Imagine Jacinda Ardern, president of the world, world president, all right? So if we have a fake alien invasion with Project Bluebeam projecting all of these freaking spacecraft and like planted explosives and stuff like that to simulate real damage, everybody would just immediately jump on board and go, hey, you know what? We need a world government to combat the alien menace. And you can't investigate any of the alien attacks, by the way. And so now we've got a global government, and now everybody, you have to sign up and you have to do everything right. And here's your Tracer app, and here's your social credit score, and now you have to do exactly what the government tells you at all time of the day and night, even if it doesn't make any sense. And if not, the alien menace will come back and breed its babies and your children. All right, like what we could conceivably be seeing.
Yeah, and has the digital ID, Vinny, has that been progressed in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
It's been pushed by the Green Party at the moment, or the Watermelon Party for some. They're red on the inside. This is of deep concern to some people. Many ATMs and things of that nature are being removed around the place. Cash is starting to get a bit scarce. We're looking towards digital currency, because once, you know, if you're an activist like me and you've got nothing but bank accounts and no cash or something like that, people can't donate to you. People can't give you anything. You're going to die, essentially, and that's what they want. And I don't think that sitting back and letting it happen is a bright idea. I think it needs to be resisted every step of the way, even if you're not going to win. You know, people were like, oh, Vinny, you're all doom and gloom and stuff like that. Yeah, but I still got a smile on my face, okay? All right, it could be worse. The world could be run by child trafficking Satanists. Now, oh, it is? All right, well, it then is. It's already as bad as it's going to get. What are you worried about? Now, there's yeah, but that's the thing about it. There's always something much, much worse than whatever you're worried about. And so that means you shouldn't worry about it. What was it, Marcus Aurelius? I think I was actually talking to my guy at the convenience store earlier this morning. And yeah. He had some bad butter chicken, and there's been a ferry breakdown, so he won't be able to go down to be with his family, and all of this other kind of stuff. And he sold up his business. He's taken a walk and that kind of thing. And I said to him, you know, something that Marcus Aurelius said back in the day, said to be the last of the five great emperors. He said, "Can you do something about it? If the answer is yes, then don't worry about it. Can you do something about it? And if the answer is no, then don't worry about it."
Yeah.
Right. The whole point of anxiety is to get you to be concerned about something that either has already happened and can't hurt you, or hasn't happened yet and can't hurt you. As soon as you put yourself in this present moment, and you go, "Where am I? I'm right here. What time is it? It's right now. Is there a threat coming to kill me in the next 30 seconds? Nope." Take a deep breath. And you're back here and now, where nothing is really going to worry you. So now you can think clearly and assess the real threats and problems in your life, self-improvements, whatever it may be.
I agree with that, because I think that the thing that makes us weakest is when we're made fearful. When we're made stressed and anxious, and in so many ways, natural, the physical side effects of that, all of that, and the mental side effects of all of that, it weakens us as people. So I agree with you, Vinny. It's good if we cannot be fearful. The thing that shocked me during COVID was 90% of the population were very easily seduced into fearfulness, and not a substantial number of them, I think, if they declared a climate emergency tomorrow, I reckon, and that meant that you had to do ABCD, most people would do it, I think. Do you know?
Oh yeah, they'd make sure to advertise it across all the mediums, so people wouldn't be able to ignore it. This is the thing. And now, first time since we had all of this stuff, we get alerts on our phones. Like at 6 o'clock in the morning, the phone goes. And it scared the hell out of you. And
there's a lockdown. It's an alert. There's some kind of fight. It's the Kraken.
You know, I don't know how desperate they are to keep people in a state of fear. I was like, can I unsubscribe to these government notifications? No, I still have to get them like everybody else. Even when my phone is on flight mode, even when it's on silent, the message still comes through and still goes at full volume and scares the hell out of you. Like, my goodness, this is an invasion, right? Mm. We're being invaded left, right, and center. And New Zealand has been ripened up by the state of China for a very long time. Let me tell you a story. Back in the day, Canadian Royal Mounted Police conducted an investigation onto Chinese infiltration of Canada, and they found that they were present in 100% of its ports, and they owned like 80% of downtown Vancouver. That's just two little factoids, right? Yeah. Now, what they do is there's a bunch of dirty embassies, and you can buy citizenship to other countries. And back in the day, I remember Three News reporting that 50% of Auckland homes, where I live, were sold to people with Chinese-sounding names. And the government hit back saying, that's racist, because most of those people are New Zealand citizens. Well, how did that happen? Maybe it's because the triads, the Chinese mafia, aka the biggest organized crime syndicate in the world, and the People's Liberation Army, that's the CIA of China, got together to purchase the West's passports send their agents over to our countries, buy out our local businesses, don't change the name of the business, keep running as per usual, make their kids study really, really hard, make them get educated, and then make them get government jobs. And before you know it, after a couple of decades or so of this process, this investigation by Royal Canadian Mounted Police was conducted in 96, if I believe correctly, and they found that there was already a huge hold in there. Imagine how strong the hold is now, because that investigation was shut down by the Prime Minister's office, which means that in 1996, they already owned Canada, and they're using the exact same tactics all around the world, to the point where Jamie Lee Ross, who was the political partner to Billy TK, was the first conspiracy theory party of New Zealand, really, the New Zealand Public Party, and they actually were polling, I think it was a third most preferred prime minister, Billy TK was, unbelievable. Now, the reason why Jamie Lee Ross left the National Party, John Key's former party, opposed to Jacinda Ardern ostensibly, is because he had the leader of the then National Party, Simon Power, a recording of a conversation with him discussing the possibility of selling one of their Members of Parliament seats to a Chinese investor for $100,000.
Right. So does China own New Zealand then? Is that what we're
I wouldn't put it past it. I mean, they probably own more of New Zealand than New Zealanders do at this point.
Because it is, from this perspective, Vinny, I look at Australia and I look at New Zealand and I look at China, and I see both those countries very much in the Chinese orbit. And not in a good way, it has to be said, you know. And it was noticeable to me that Jacinda Ardern, for example, was very pally-wally with the Chinese, almost like she was an ambassador for China rather than a New Zealander, which is a bit surprising, isn't it? Or maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, she was the head of Socialist Youth International. There was a video of her giving an address to the assembly, and she was used the word comrade like 9 or 14 times or something like that in a couple of minutes. Comrade this, comrade that. And so when she becomes head of New Zealand, and her mentors are Helen Clark, who belongs to Parliamentarians for Global Action, which is a globalist organization that you have to be a democratically elected member of parliament to be a member of, and she's also a member of the Club de Madrid, which is for former heads of state who want a new world order as well. You knew that the writing was on the wall, that who Jacinda works for, not less the fact that she received a Freemason scholarship for her degree in PR and political science, and that she worked for Tony Blair, and that she worked for the Better Business Bureau, which was involved in the European Union cutting red tape for large businesses and then using that red tape to strangle small businesses. These people have a track record, they have a space in time, and they occupy their positions, they do their dirty work, and then they get out. Now, it reminds me of John Key, for example. He was working in Forex trading, associated with a man named Andrew Krieger, and he had a huge margin of correct sales over everybody else, right? Like 14 times more often John Key would make a sale or make the right bet on the stock market than anybody else. Well, you know what that's called? That's called insider trading, because it's statistically impossible to get that kind of success. And due to John Key's trades, he collapsed the New Zealand dollar back in the day when it was floated publicly. Got 100,000 New Zealanders out of work. And then what did he do? He then went to Australia, where they had an economic crisis. And so he went to Ireland, where they had an economic crisis. And then he went to the United States, where they had an economic crisis. And then he came back to New Zealand to help us with our economic crisis that he helped cause.
Yeah, we see he was very experienced by that point, wasn't I? He had a global track record of it. Yeah, I mean, as somebody in the stream here says, these people are like locusts, and I do agree with that. You know, they really are. But tell me this, Vinny, how do you see things playing out now over the next couple of years? You know, we seem to have gone through one phase of the New World Order. What do you think is going to happen next in the next 24 months?
I reckon there's got to be some kind of climate crisis, man. They've been milking and prepping people that for ages. Just watched a movie the other day called Reminiscence, where people are living in like a flooded Florida kind of thing, a flooded Miami. Yeah. It's just, if you see it in the movies, it's going to become reality. Yeah. I think that's what, and if you see it in the news, it's as far away from reality as you could possibly imagine. All right, that's basically how the media works. You get your truth in the movies and you get your lies in the news.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. Yeah, I think Hollywood is used for, and broader media like that, it's used to tell us exactly what's going to happen. And we've seen that with COVID, obviously. There was lots and lots and lots of signaling long before it actually happened in movies and whatnot, you know. So you reckon climate emergency then is going to be the next one?
One can only hope. You know, it's just... We had like a storm very recently in New Zealand, which has... Now we killed like 1,000 people in Napier Hastings, some people are saying on social media. We don't have got really a confirmation of the numbers on that, but we've got people who are like related to police who live down there, and they're confirming it and so on and so forth. So huge freaking disaster, the likes of which we haven't really seen before, or at least not in living memory. Of course, we've had floods of this magnitude all the time throughout history, except what's happened is NIWA, the people who are... taking care of all of the monitoring of the weather, etc., have deleted all of the previous storms off of their website.
What a surprise, yeah.
All right. Yeah. This is an unprecedented one. See, there's no precedent.
I think I think that is probably where we are going. I think they've run out of, or maybe they haven't run out of pandemics, or, you know, alleged pandemics. I'm not sure if they, I mean, obviously, Vinny, you know, the monkeypox didn't work for them. Nobody really believes anymore in these COVID subvariants and stuff, or indeed COVID for that matter. So I'm not sure where they go with that. Although it is interesting, is it not, that the World Health Organization is working on a global pandemic treaty next month, I think. So, you know, that worries me a bit, because when they work on these treaties, then it kind of happens what they're so worried about also tends to happen. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there, but we need to resist. I think that's the main thing. And as I say, you've been an amazing guest. I can see all the comments coming in here, Vinny. So I think you've been, as I say, you're the first New Zealander I've had on my stream, and it's been absolute pleasure to have you on. So listen, as I say, I know it's the start of your day, it's the end of our day here, but can I thank you so much, Vinny, for being here. We've put your website, we flashed it, Vinny's channels. Make sure you support Vinny. Look at loads of great content there for you guys to so good it got banned. It's the sense of humor, Vinny, that keeps us afloat. I think they hate the fact that we laugh at them as well. Do you not?
Actually, I was interviewing Dr. Sam Varknam, expert on psychopathy, and he says that they don't have an ego. Now, people don't really know what that means. If I were to insult you or slag off your mum, for example, there'd be some part inside you that was hurt by it or angry because of it or something like that. That's the ego. It's the sense of self.
Yeah.
The psychopath, you can say anything and it does absolutely nothing. They don't care. They literally couldn't care if they wanted to. They couldn't care if they tried. Nothing we say and nothing we do beyond physically getting them to stop doing what they're doing matters. And that's what makes them such a terrifying adversary. It's just like the Terminator. There is no reasoning. There is no bargaining. And they absolutely will not stop until you are dead. Can we kill this thing? I don't know. With these weapons and this time, I don't know.
Well, I think what we have to do is we have to keep trying. We never stop, and we just have to keep going forward. Finny, been a real pleasure. Thanks very much for giving me your time. On behalf of everybody and all the different streams, again, much appreciated. And as I say, good luck continuing the resistance down under. That's it from us for tonight, folks, from Finny and myself. Catch you folks tomorrow night at 8 p.m. same time here in the UK, and we'll speak then. Thanks, Finny. Bye-bye, everybody.
Cheers, guys. See ya.